بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. التاسع عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة فطال القيام حتى هممت بأمر سوء. قيل وما هممت به؟ قال هممت أن أجلس وأدعه. متفق عليه. The next hadith in this chapter of striving in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala and to engage in more nafal ibadat, which unfortunately we have given up by and large. We only try and suffice with our faraiz and our wajibat, etc. But to exert ourselves in nafal ibadat is also a great thing. In this hadith, this whole chapter is devoted to that. This, in the previous hadith we read where Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu performed namaz behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is nafal tahajjud namaz at night, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read in the first rakat about 5 1/4 suparas. Ruku, sajda, everything was about that same length also. Here we see that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another great sahabi, one night he says, I made namaz sallaytum an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laylatan. One night I made namaz with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is also nafal namaz, tahajjud namaz. Fa atal al qiyam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stood so long in qiyam while standing. He read so much that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, a great sahabi, a very strong sahabi, he said, Hatta hamamtu bi amri su'in, until I thought of something evil. And then the sahaba asked him, Wama hamamta bihi, what was that evil you thought about? He said, Hamamtu an ajlisa wa ada'ahu. I was thinking of sitting down and giving up my namaz, not carrying on behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it was too long and too taxing for me. I could not tolerate it anymore. So this shows that how long the namaz of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. That is so long that a great strong sahaba, who was very strong, but he also could not take it. So how long must have been that namaz, we cannot understand. So this is one thing that we should also try and exert ourselves. Not so much that like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that's out of the question for us. But at least somewhat, some little bit, we should also make some effort in that direction. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you have finished your other work, then فَانْصَبْ, now engage in the ibadat of Allah. And in the word nasab is that so much that you feel the tiredness, not just a little bit and then you say, nah, I've done enough, but so much that you feel tired now. So much of nafil ibadat we should engage in. This hadith highlights the sacrifice and effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in worship. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you have no gunas on you and your position is so exalted by Allah, why do you still exert yourself so much? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant? When Allah has done so much for me, should I not be thankful to Him and engage more in the ibadat of Allah? We are all drowning every moment in the ni'mat of Allah, but so seldom we make any shukr. Gunas we make wholesale, but shukr, that we even in our worldly life, our body, our eyes, brains, heart, body functioning properly, we are all sitting comfortably here. What many ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Let us think of the people who came in the earthquake of Syria and Turkey. What's their condition? Here we are sitting comfortably. What shukr are we making? So the shukr should be expressed in the form of namaz also. That we should make shukr to Allah Ta'ala and be thankful to Him for His favors. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum tried their utmost to adopt the very same spirit, but realized that their efforts were not possible. The Sahaba also tried that as Nabi, that's why they joined him in his ibadat of the night, that they knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ibadat is very great. They tried also, but as we see, it was not easy, even for the Sahaba. But at least we should have that some inclination. Just that we have given up nafal ibadat almost completely is very unbecoming and is not right at all on our side. We don't have any position by Allah, so we should try even more harder. This hadith highlights the sacrifice and effort of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in worship, like the previous hadith and the whole life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the day, busy all the time, seeing to the affairs of the Muslims, guiding them towards righteous, inviting people towards deen, and at night engaging the ibadat of Allah. And he was not negligent in any way with his duties to his families also. He saw to the family life also. Everything he saw to. And he is an example for us. We should try and follow in his pattern. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum tried their utmost to adopt the very same spirit, but realized their efforts, it was not possible. The salah referred to here is tahajjud. Hence, it was acceptable to prolong it. Tahajjud namaz, one's own nafal namazes, a person can make as long as he wants to. In normal circumstances, it is not acceptable for an imam to prolong the farz salah to such an extent that it inconveniences those in the congregation who are elderly or ill. One's own nafal namaz, a person can make as long as he wants to. Unless, of course, somebody is waiting for him, he's got an agreement, meeting time with somebody, then he must keep that in mind. But there's nothing like that, he can make his nafal as long as possible. But the farz namaz, an imam, must not lengthen it too much. He must not inconvenience the people. He must make such a namaz that the people want to come for namaz, not that they will stop coming. That this imam's namaz is too long, etc. It shouldn't be like that. And especially if they are ill people, elderly people, they should be considered also. And that is called a good imam who considers his musallis. And he keeps in mind the needs of the musallis. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's reluctance to oppose the action of the imam emphasizes the need to be respectful towards seniors and teachers. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I thought of stopping, giving up my namaz, but he didn't. He carried on. This teaches us that with our elders and our ustads, etc., our parents, etc., we must always show the utmost respect and try and serve them properly and fully. Ulama state that if a muqtadi, the one who follows the imam, finds it difficult to stand for a long time during the namaz, then he may sit down. If his health does not permit and he can't stand so long, then he may sit down. But also, we should not do it according to our discretion. As like sitting on the chair, don't just use our discretion. Ask a mufti, this is my condition, is it now permissible for us? Otherwise, we see young people without any excuse, just for comfort, they're sitting on the chair. They don't want to exert themselves that little bit of standing, etc., making ruku, sajda. They see everyone sitting on the chair, all day also getting on the chair. And then we see certain masjids in our country that now in the masjid they've got permanent benches also. That all just come and sit on the benches. And from the worship of the Christians, we see noted that their ibadat was also like ours, namaz, standing, ruku, sajda. Till today, they come out in the aisle and kneel down also. But because of this attitude of laziness, now the benches are the common, is the full-time feature of churches. They all just go and sit on the benches. Allah save us, must not happen that our masjids also become like that. And these things are not far-fetched, they happen. We till about the 1910, round about there was no singing in the Christian churches. But to attract the youth, now Now singing is a regular feature. It's part of the feature. So all these things we bring into, then we change the whole picture of deen. So we should be very careful about these matters. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asking for clarification from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu teaches us that an explanation should be sought regarding religious issues that are unclear or difficult to comprehend. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud told that I thought of something evil. That is, when he explained, to sit down and give up my namaz and not follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in that namaz. It was becoming too taxing for me. The Sahaba asked, what was it that made you what you thought of? So like that, what we don't understand of our deen, we should also get clarification so that our confusion can be removed and the misgivings that we have can be removed also, and we have got a clear picture and idea of deen. This is also one great lesson that we learn from here. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with all the lessons that come in the hadith, the lives of the Sahaba. They are very, very clear picture for us how to follow on our deen, and they have taught us every detail. We should try and adopt that way so that we also get the proper deen in our lives.